Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, oh God. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to the book of James, chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 6 through 10. 6 through 10. So I want your attention here on the screen. Let's go there right now. And I've entitled this evening's message, Humble Yourself Before Our God. Humble yourself before our God. And as you can see, James chapter 4, 6 through 10, we're going to break down 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. It's called expository teaching. And then we're just going to allow the Holy Ghost have his way. Amen. Are you there? Let's go there right now. And the Word of God reads, But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. That's the key. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to me. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 9 and 10. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Here's the key verse, my friends. Humble yourselves. Say that with me at home. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Jesus will lift you up. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. You see, this is all about humility. This is all about walking God's grace, God's mercy. God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. God is now looking unto us. He's looking unto us to carry the mantle, to pick up our cross, and to follow him. God is saying there are issues of the heart that need to be settled with God, even in this way of salvation. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. We are not to fear the things that are here on the earth and what we see. We are not to fear persecution, opposition. All that will come as a child of God, but we are to walk in the grace of God. We are to walk in a spirit of humility. You see, this world doesn't know what humility is all about. This world is very prideful. There's pride in our family. There's pride on our jobs. There's pride in the school. There's so much pride that they have kicked the Word of God right out of our society. But I'm here to let you know, if God be for you, who can be against us? Can I get amen? God will place a shield and buckler around us. God will anoint us. God will strengthen us. God will be the lifter of our head. And we must understand that we need the power of God. We need the grace of God. We need to be born from above in order to walk this walk of holiness. For the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. So my friends, I'm here to let us know that this message tonight is about walking in humility before God. We must always have that repentant heart. We must always surrender to the Lord. We must always submit to our loved ones and to those who have authority over us so that we can have the grace of God, the favor of God, the mercy of God. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. So let's go back to the Word of God and let's look at James, verse 6, chapter 4. Look at this. And the Word of God reads, But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Did you catch that? See, it's all about humility. It's all about humility. You see, saints, we will need to rely on God's strength to stand against such evil desires. That strength is available. Oh, yes, it is. It's always available through a heart that will humble itself before God. A life that has submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ. A life that has died to self. Oh, I know, it's tough to die to self. But Paul admonishes us to die, to lay aside every weight and so and every weight and sin that so easily besets us, that we would what? Press toward the prize of the call in Christ Jesus. So let's get this scripture right here. In Proverbs 3:34, surely he scorns the scornful, but gives what? Grace to the humble. Praise God. God, praise God. You see, my friends, James offers hope to those who desire friendship with God. You see, God sets himself against the proud. Why? Because pride makes us self-centered and leads us to conclude that we deserve all that we can see, touch, or even imagine. You see, my friends, it creates greedy appetites for far more than we need. That's right. You see, pride can subtly just cause us to no longer see our sin or our needs for forgiveness. That's how strong and powerful pride is. But let's look at God's word once again. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride will what? Bring him low. But the humble in spirit will retain honor. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, humility opens the way for God's grace to flow in our lives. Thus, God shows favor to the humble. Humility is not weakness. I hope you know that. Instead, it is the only place, say that with me, it's the only place that believers gain courage to face all their temptations and sins with God's strength. You see, as God gives us more grace, we realize, saints of God, that this world's seductive attractions are only cheap substitutions for what God has to offer. Can I get an amen? God has so much to offer you and I. That's right. He wants to give us the best, his very best. How many believe that you want the best from God? Well, the way to obtain God's best is to walk in humility before him. That's right. Let pride go. Destroy it. You see, saints, it is our choice. We can be humble ourselves and receive God's grace, or we can continue to walk in pride and self-sufficiency and experience his anger. Listen, I don't want to experience his anger. Can I get an amen? Do you? I don't. I want to walk in the grace of God. I want his blessings upon my life. I want favor. I want God to open up doors that no man can shut and shut all the doors that no man can open. God has blessed our little church. He has given us everything that we could ever imagine, and we didn't have to go to the people and ask to give for this and give for that. No, God graciously sees that we have humbled ourselves before the Lord, and he has opened up supernatural doors for us. That's right. When we were in Temple Beth Shalom, God closed that door knowing that he had a better place for us. Praise God. And now he has supplied all of our needs there for the worship, for the live stream, for the recording. That's right. We got parking galore. That's right. We have a facility that can hold almost 300 people in the fellowship hall. My goodness. That's but the grace of God. That's but the mercy of God. You see, it's all about Jesus. When you point everything to Jesus, that it's all about him, that's when he will be glorified and magnified. I need you to know that God will not share any of his glory with man. So this is why we have to defer everything. Anything that God does for you, what God has done for you, that God is about to do, you got to give God the glory. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. So now, let's go back to verse 7 now. In verse 7, therefore, submit to God. Say that with me. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, that, let me just pause here. If you get tempted, just throw it down. Walk away. Don't put your eyes on it. Don't allow your ears to hear it. You see, we can tempt ourselves. And once you get into a place of temptation, you will fall into that trap of sin. That's how it works. You see, churches don't want to talk about sin. Why? Because sin is rampant. Right now in the churches throughout this country, there's fornication, there's adultery, there's abortion, there's homosexuality, There's transgenderism in the churches. There's homosexual pastors now. My goodness, why? Because sin has crept in. And pride is the forerunner of all that. Pride is. So, my friend, Satan knows that as long as he can stimulate human pride, he can delay God's plan, even if only temporarily. But as powerful as old Slewfoot is, his power is limited. His only power over believers in his powerful temptations is limited. See, we can resist the devil and he will flee. He will flee from us. He will flee from you. He will flee from me. But conversely, saints, a lack of resistance will practically guarantee ongoing harassment by old Slewfoot, by Satan himself. Well, that's right. Let's look at the Word of God regarding this. Let's look at the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Look at this. Finally, my brethren, here's the key. Be strong in the Lord and the power of whose might? Your might? Your spouse's might? Your children's might? No, the power of his might. His might is the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. Man, I'm telling you, that's old cunning Slewfoot. That's right. Look at this. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. My goodness. Look at this. Verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having the shod, your feet shod, prepared with the gospel of peace. Look at verse 16 and 17. And above all, taking the shield of faith. Wow, taking the shield of faith. We need the shield of faith. That's right. We need those fiery darts to just slide off like Teflon. Look at this. Putting on the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, all the way until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, to be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Aren't you so blessed, my friends? Huh? Aren't you so blessed that God has equipped us? God didn't leave us like orphans. No, when God adopted us, we were grafted in by faith through grace. And now that we are a child of God, he has equipped us. He has given us his armor. He has given us our tools. He has given us our ammunition. But a lot of saints across the land have put him in the closet. And now it's playing footsie with the devil. I'm here to let you know, my friends, this is time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Jesus is about to return. And when he returns, he's going to move the church out of the way, and he's going to have to bring judgment. No one's talking about judgment. Oh, that's right. No one's talking about judgment. Now, let me throw this little tidbit in. You know that deep freeze that's happening in Texas? 2 days before that deep freeze hit, Biden went on record and he wants to continue to do a two-state solution for the Palestinians in Israel. In other words, to divide the land. We all know that if you divide the land, God will bring judgment. And right when he pronounced it, it's all over the news. The freeze came. Hello? God said, don't touch my land. That is the land that I set aside for the people of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's going to be the land where Jesus will return. My goodness, my goodness. See, my friends, things are happening right now. And this is the time that the church needs to be right before God. This is the time that we need to truly look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This is the time to truly praise Him and to press through, to pray, to fast, to seek His face, to turn from our wicked ways. God said that if you will humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He will lift us up. That's right. Look what it says in 1 Peter right here. Let's go back to the Word of God. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. Therefore, humble yourselves. Say that with me. It doesn't say exalt yourself, but humble yourselves. Humble yourselves in the mighty hand of God that He may what? Exalt you in due time. See, God hasn't forgot about your situation. Let me just pause there. God knows what you're going through. God knows every situation. Some of you are praying for loved ones to be saved. Some of you have children that need to draw close to God. Some of you have adult, young adult children, hallelujah, that have strayed away. But God will return them. That's right. But you got to stay strong in the power of His might. Can I get amen? And wait on the Lord. In due time, God will see you through. Can I get amen? That's right. Let's go back to God's word. Let's look at this. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion. Look at this. He's like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, but here's the key. Verse 9, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Did you catch that? Resist him, be steadfast in the faith. Listen, my friends, I remember my pastor said it best. He said, if you're on a diet, okay, if you're on a diet, why are you going into a donut shop to order a Diet Coke? Huh? And you're looking in the glass bins right there, the glass cases, and all your favorite donuts are right there. That's temptation. See, you're tempting yourself. This is why we have to flee. Some of you are right now, you're involved and things that are illicit to God. Some of you are struggling still with alcohol. Some of you are still struggling with pornography. Some of you are still struggling, that's right, with shifting eyes. That's right. Listen, this is the time to repent. This is the time to get right with God. This is the time to say no more. No more on the phone. No more on the computer. No more of this and that. You see, the devil made it convenient. Back in the day, I grew up in National City. There was just one theater where everyone tried to sneak into. It was called the Paris. I'm not going to say the next word, and it ended with cat. It was on Broadway in National City. And we used to think that's where all the sailors went into. And if you got caught going into that place, your name was all over the place. But see, the devil knew. He knew how to get everybody entrapped, men and women. So now you can see that illicit stuff on a phone in the privacy of your room. Oh, how convenient, huh? Oh, no one's going to know. Well, let me just say this. Jesus, who is sitting right next to you, is seeing everything that you're seeing. My goodness, friends, this is the time. This is time to get right. Hallelujah. I'm always asking my wife, pray for me. As a man of God, pray for me so that the wiles of the devils will fly off. Because even pastors, even elders, even deacons, even evangelists, even all those who have these titles still get tempted because we live in the body of flesh. Can I get an amen? So I covet your prayers to keep me in check. We all need to be in check. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on. So saints, the idea of humility before God, well, it now includes the added benefit of God's immediate response. You see, you and I, we can draw close to God, and God will draw close to us. The command to wash your hands means to purify our actions and change our external behavior. The way we live, it matters to God. Can I get an amen? It matters to God. And so as we draw near to God, we will become aware of habits and actions in our lives that are not pleasing to Him. Washing our hands pictures the removal of these things from the way we live. We must distance ourselves from the sins that God points out in your life. What has God been pointing out in your life? What has God been pointing out in my life? There are many things that God is pointing out. And I have to take heed. I have to humble myself. I got to say no to the flesh. I got to say yes to the Spirit. Can I get an amen? Because now there's a war. Let me just say this. If you're struggling with issues and it's a battle, that's a good sign that you have given yourself over to that sin. Why? Because there's a battle raging. Because the flesh wants to have its way, but the Spirit wants to have its way. And so we have to learn, who are we going to yield to? We got to yield to the spiritual man. Can I get an amen? Let's go back to God's word. Let's look at this. Look at verse 8. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. God is saying, do not be double-minded. Can I get an amen? We cannot be double-minded. Thank you, Jesus. We got to press forward. Let's go to Psalm 73. Look at this. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all your works. Can I get an amen? We need to testify. Listen, we need to testify and let this dying world know what God has done for us. Listen, God has done these incredible miracles for you and I. That's right. Yes, He has. And we need to let the world know that what God has done for us, He can do for you. God can deliver them. God can strengthen them. God can heal them. God can raise them up. Thank you, Jesus. Some people have been counted out, and the world has counted them out. Their family has forsaken them. Their jobs have fired them, and they feel like they're defeated. But I'm here to let you know, if you're listening, if that's you, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ever think and ask and hope for. God will be the lifter of your head. If you cry out to God and repent and ask God to save you, He will lift you up. He will cleanse you. He will wash you in His blood. He will fill you with His Spirit. He'll give you a brand new life. All things have become new. All things are gone away. They've all gone away, praise God, and all things have become new. You will be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God will do the miraculous in your life. God will empower you to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Hallelujah. God will give you words of wisdom. God will anoint your lips and you will plant seeds of hope. Hallelujah. In the hearts of those that have no hope. And the seed and the word of God will not come back void. And so you will go watering, you'll go planting, and God will give the increase, and God will raise them up for such a time as this. We need to be about our Father's business. Can I get an amen? We need to be a church that's reaching the lost at any cost. Hallelujah. It's great to be comfortable in a wonderful church, but we need to be God's little workmen. We need to be out there 2x2s, 3x3s, and going and preaching and teaching and winning the lost. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So, saints of God, similarly, the command to purify your hearts calls for purity of thoughts and motives, changes on the inside. You see, the people could not remain hypocrites trying to love both God and the world. There'll be an eternal conflict. Purity of the heart then implies single-mindedness. Can I get an amen? Let's look at what God's word says here in Isaiah. Look at this. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Can I get an amen? This is a word for all of us, including me. That's right. Look what Job says right here. Job 17:9. Yet the righteous will hold to his way. And he who has clean hands will be what? Stronger and stronger. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Aren't you so blessed that God says, listen, if you purify your hearts, if you clean your hands, if you wash your spirit with the word of God and with the blood of Jesus, you'll become stronger and stronger in the faith. This is why you need to be in Bible study. This is why you need to be plugged in on Wednesday nights. This is why you need to attend Sunday mornings. Can I get an amen? Yes, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, We got two more verses to break down. How many love the expository teaching? Praise God. So let's go here. Let's go now to verse 9 in James 4. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Praise God. Praise. That's right. God doesn't want us to be in a gloomy state. That's right. You see, saints of God, draw near to us, to God, and we ought to sense our unworthiness as we get closer to God. That's right. As we get closer to Him, we should have a sense that, whoa, I'm so undone. After all, we are being allowed to approach the holy, perfect God by faith. Can I get an amen? James has described a long spiritual process in the last 8 verses. He began by describing people in conflict with each other and within themselves. Then he described the source of those conflicts as inappropriate desires motivated in a large part by what trying to stay close to the world and to God. It's impossible. It's impossible because one is going to hate the other. Oh, that's right. That's right. You may love those things of the world more than God, and your heart will go cold toward God. But Jesus said in the last days there would be an apostasy, meaning people that had started off and they were walking with God for years. Ask yourself, where are they now? Some of them are not in church anymore. They left. Some of them said, I've done my time. I'm gone. I'm going to go do my thing. Wow, really? Jesus is about to return. See, Jesus said that many are going to fall away. They're going to fall away to the affairs and the cares of this world. Oh, don't let you be in that number, my friends. Don't be in that number. We need to be a people of faith. We need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Can I get an amen? King David understood these things. Let's go there. Look at that. Let's look at this. In Psalms 34 through 5, King David wrote, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Praise God. We are to remember what He has done. We are to remember who He is. For His anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, I don't care what you're going through. That scripture is so ideal for you and I. Because no matter how painful the situation, the trial, the tribulation is, you may be weeping throughout that evening, but joy will come. Why? Because God is the deliverer. God will deliver you. God will lift you up. God will free you. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You got to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get amen? That's right. You see, saints, the different terms sorrow and deep grief and sadness and gloom, it captures the struggle of a soul drawing near to God. You see, my friends, there is a dying which takes place. This is called to deep and heartfelt repentance. That's right. I'm always advocating, I'm always preaching at the end of my messages to repent, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, the people's laughter, scornful laughter, that refuse to take sin seriously, and their joy in the world's pleasures needs to be completely changed to mourning over their sins. Why? Until this happens, there is no room for the laughter of real freedom and the joy of the Lord. There has to be a breaking. There has to be something inside you that gets shattered by God. And God will destroy those things. And then we will be like little Humpty Dumpties. He will put all the pieces together again. That's right. Come to God. Allow God to break us. Allow God to shatter us. And then allow God to restore us and to rebuild us. You see, saints, the Christian life involves joy. But when we realize our sins, we must be just mournful so that we can repent. Only after mourning can we move on to joy in the grace of God that He gives to us liberally. God's not stingy. He wants to give us the best. That's right. Yes, He does. I want you to look at this story for a moment. Let's look at Luke right here. Let's go here. Look at this. This is the key. The Beatitudes. This is the key. When Jesus spoke, he spoke there in Israel on top of the mountains. My goodness. Overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Look what it reads here. Then he lifted up his eyes toward the disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when the men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Verse 23, "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets." Verse 24, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep." Verse 26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did the fathers to the false prophets." Wow. Wow. My goodness. Wow. You see, God was showing us a picture. If you walk in humility, God will bless you. If you walk in pride, destruction is just around the corner. So we're going to break down our last verse in James chapter 4, 6 through 10. And we're going to look at verse 10 here. And it reads, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will what? He will lift you up." That's right. He will lift you up. You see, saints, to bow down before the Lord and to admit our dependence upon him means recognizing that our worth comes from God alone. It is recognizing our desperate need for his help and submitting to his will for our lives, for your life, my life, for our lives. Although we do not deserve God's favor, and none of us do, saints of God, he reaches out to us in love and gives us worth and dignity, my friends, despite of our human shortcomings. And all of us, we fall short. Look what Job said here. Job said in 5:11 through 16, look what it says. "He sets on high those who are lowly, and those who mourn are lifted to safety. He frustrates the devices of the crafty, so that their hands cannot carry out their plans. He catches the wise in their own craftiness, and the counsel of the coming comes quickly upon them." Look at this. "They meet with darkness in the daytime and grope at noontime as in the night. But he saves the needy from the sword," praise God, "from the mouth of the mighty and from their hand. So the poor have hope." Say that with me. "So the poor have hope, and injustice shuts her mouth." Wow. Wow, my friends. You see, saints, when we truly humble ourselves, the promise is sure. He will lift us up and give us honor. One of the most touching biblical illustrations was found in Jesus' parable of the forgiving father, the prodigal son. You all know, I have spoken to many wonderful people who started out well, and then for some reason, a trial, a tribulation came. Something horrendous happened in their life. A loved one passing, or kids on drugs, or just losing a job. Whatever the case may be, I've spoken to many who have had those certain situations have happened. And they got cold and they walked away. And a lot of them would say to me that it was so hard to come back. Why? Because the devil then comes with condemnation. God don't want you back. God hates you. God don't love you. Look where you're at now. And so he will come and deceive. He will come and condemn. And yet, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches is that God, he leaves the 99 to go get the one that strayed away, the one that fell away. We have to believe, my friends, that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. God can stretch out his mighty hand and draw that one back. We need to look at this story and let God speak to you. Let's go there right now. Let's go there right now. In Luke 15, 11 through 32, then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided it to him, his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. That's right. He was living in the city life, going to the clubs, drinking, boozing. He was probably in and out of bedrooms. That's right. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Okay, now he's out there with nothing. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Wow. And he would, look at this, and he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, here's the key, he acknowledged that he has fallen short. He said, how many of my father's hired servants had bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Oh, now he's taking a hard look. He's doing a heart check. He's doing a heart check right here. Look at this. And I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Let me just pause right there. This is a story of repentance. This is a story of humility. This is a story where God's outstretched hands is always there for his child to come back, to run back to him. But the devil wants to lie to you. The devil wants to tell you that you are unworthy. The devil wants to tell you that you have sinned too far, that there is no more turning back to God. I'm here to let you know the devil is a liar and he's a father of lies. God is there for us. If God be for you, who could be against you? You need to understand that God is the lifter of our heads, that God is the author and the finisher of our faith, that God will strengthen you. God will anoint you again. God will do a Samson on you, where all of a sudden Samson was blind and the Philistines were around him, and God empowered him for the last time to destroy the enemies. God wants to destroy the enemies in your life, but you got to repent. You got to turn back to God with your whole heart, soul, and mind. You got to surrender those things to God, and you got to say, oh God be for me. If you are before me, who can be against me? Let's go back to this story. Let's go back. He said, I have sinned against heaven and before you, verse 19, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him. Look at that. Before I read the rest of that, it doesn't say, oh, the father saw him. Shut the blinds. Muzzle the dog. Close the door. And don't open it. No, he didn't say that, did he? Sometimes we're like that with our relatives. Oh, here they come. We're not home. Turn the blinds down. Shut the TV off. Muzzle the dog. We're not home. Why? We don't want to be around them. His father was not like that. Let's go back to the word. Look at this. But when he saw, it was still a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and what? Kissed him. Praise God. Look at this. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Look at this. And bring the fatted calf out here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older brother was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So, look at this. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry. Okay, let me just pause right there. Why was the brother angry? See, there's people in church you know, they get a little prideful too. And they see someone who backslid and now is back in the fold and is being raised up by God once again. A little jealousy sat in. Animosity sat in. That's right. And that happens. And when you start feeling that for another person, this is where you got to put your heart in check. If God chooses to raise that person back up, who are you to be mad? You got to let God have his way. Why? Because he's had mercy on you. He's had mercy on me. Shame on us if we are to belittle someone that God is raising right back up. Let's continue this story. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you." This is the brother now. "I've never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a goat, and I might be merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots." Look at that. He was with prostitutes. See, this is what the devil will do. The devil will remind you of your past. He'll remind you of your past sins. It says, "You kill the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost. And now he is found." Wow. Wow. What a story. Huh? What a story. You see, the son took his inheritance and set out to be the world's best friend. It was not until he found himself bankrupt in every way, spiritually, physically, monetarily, but he returned home grieving. The son confessed to his father that he was unworthy to be called a son. But the father lifted him. He lifted him up and he welcomed him back to the family. The act of returning required submission. The wayward son's words of repentance required humility. The end result was great joy. You see, my friends, humility before God will be followed by his lifting us up. Praise God, praise God, praise God. My friends, we don't have time to be mad at one another. We don't have time to have grievances against one another. We don't have time to say, "Well, I'm going to go out and play with the world and come back another time." We don't have that much time. Why? Because soon and very soon, Jesus is coming. That's right. Look at the clouds behind me. As the sun is setting, you see the clouds up there? Jesus is coming back in the clouds. Oh, yes, he is. And why is he coming back? He's coming back twofold, two reasons. He's coming back to remove his bride out of the way. We are the bride of Christ. We're the born-again church. We are the church that have repented of our sins, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, been filled with the Spirit of promise. We've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins. Now we're heaven bound, and now there's a hell to shun. That's right. Jesus is about to return. And Paul understood this. That's why Paul wrote when he was in Thessalonica. He wrote that Jesus would come in this like manner. Let's go to the Word of God found in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. The Word of God says, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus," look at this, "for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at verse 15. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another." You see, my friends, God's word cannot lie. God is not like a man that can lie. Oh, yes, we are prone every now and then to speak a lie. We repent, but God can never do that. God is love, God is true, God is merciful, God is gracious, God is faithful. And if God said he's coming back for his church, you could take it to the bank. He will come back for us. But a miraculous thing has to happen. The Bible says flesh and blood cannot enter into heaven. In other words, we cannot meet the Lord of the air in these fleshly bodies. We have to have a body like his. We have to be changed. And it's going to happen so fast. It's going to happen so fast. My goodness, it'll be faster than the speed of light. Let's look at God's word and let's confirm this. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54. Look at this. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, meaning we shall not all physically die, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Say that with me at home. And we shall be changed. Look at this. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. Praise God. My question. These are wonderful truths. These things will take place. But maybe you've logged in. Maybe you're listening to this for the first time. And maybe you have not been born again. Because God is only coming back for the born again church. There's a lot of Christian churches that they have name tags. They're brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. But they've never been born again. And so, if you have not been born again, and you are not prepared when Jesus comes, don't let this next thing that you see happen. Let's go there.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Wow. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord in the clouds, in the air? Or will you be like those folks left behind, thinking that you are saved, thinking that just because you joined the church, that you were part of Sunday school, thinking that all that was enough to get into heaven? But unless you are washed in the blood of the Lamb, unless you've been repented of your sins and confessed your sins to God, guess what? Those folks won't get in. But I'm here for some good news. The good news is you can be ready, and all you have to do is repent. Listen, the Apostle Peter, when he first got saved, he preached his very first sermon, and look what he preached right here. Let's look at this. Then Peter said to them, "Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. Wow, that's it. That's the key. That's the key, my friends. That's right. That's the key. That's the key for you and I. And God wants to do the miraculous in your life. And all you got to do is cry out, open up your heart, confess your sins to Him. God's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So if this is you, and you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to lead you into a sinner's prayer. You need to open up your heart and let the Lord God come in. Jesus wants to come in and sup with you. And so if you're there, bow your hearts and your head with me and pray this simple prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory in the house. Woo! Someone just gave their heart to Jesus. Someone just got saved. Listen, down below is our website. Reach out to us. Our email and phone number is there. We want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to point you and direct you to a church. If you're here locally, we'd love to invite you out to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. We teach the unadulterated Word of God, and we just want to see you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, I want to thank and praise God for all those who still, miraculously, even in this COVID time, are still helping this ministry. You guys are still sending your tithes and offerings either through PayPal or you're sending letters and saying thank you. We are so grateful and thankful. And so down below, once again, our website's there. Donations are deeply appreciated. And so I hope you were blessed with the expository teaching from the book of James, chapter 4. We were in verses 6 through 10. I'm looking forward to next Wednesday with some more expository teaching. But I also want to see you come out on Sunday. Let me check that. Sunday morning at 10:30. Bring your family. That's right. Tell a friend. Bring a friend. Let's pack out the place. Let's give all the glory. The worship is awesome. It's anointed. And the presence of God is there. Listen, COVID's behind us. Walk in faith. Some of you are still walking fearfully. Just come. And come and clothe yourself in His righteousness and pray. And we still do the practical things. That's right. We got gloves. We got the mask. We got all the sanitary items. We have all those precautionary things. But come and enjoy a 10:30 service. You'll be blessed. And you never know who you may bring, that it may be their time to be saved. And so, my friends, on behalf of Sister Yolanda and Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, we love you guys. And we are so mighty thankful that you have joined us this evening. And we're looking forward to seeing you on this coming Sunday at 10:30. And so what I would love to do is send out a blessing to your home. It's called the Aaronic Blessing. And that God would truly, truly lift you up. Amen. And so it goes like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So we love you. God bless you. And we look forward to seeing you once again this Sunday morning at 10:30 at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita. We'll be there at 10:30. God bless you. We'll see you this Sunday. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah.